scripture this morning I'd like to read to you comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does this say? What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's kind of hard to believe that we're already in the month of March. Is it hard for you to imagine that? Particularly on a day when they're calling for snow and sleet and all sorts of things. Hopefully it's going to hold off a little while yet. But it's hard to imagine that we're already 1/6 of the way through this new year. It's hard to believe that next weekend is the time change. So remember that. Mark it on your calendars. Spring forward next Sunday morning at 2 a.m. It's hard to believe that as I ride down the street going into the parsonage there, the buttercups are just about to just bust wide open in bloom. Some of them already have. It's hard to believe that I turn to Sports Center and I see news of spring training and baseball. Baseball's a great game, one of my favorites. It's a game of statistics. Any of you like statistics, numbers people here? Vance, you're a numbers person. You don't like that. Yeah, right. Particularly this time of year in the accounting business. But baseball's a game of statistics. Kids memorize their games. We were talking about in Sunday school, somebody's mentioning baseball cards and their value, how much they are bringing these days if you've got vintage baseball cards. You know, those baseball cards used to all have your favorite player statistics and all. Most of us boys, anyway, that loved baseball when we were growing up, we could tell you our favorite player statistics from the past year or into that current season. In 1970, if you would have asked me how many base hits Pete Rose had, I could have told you without even blinking an eye about it. How many at-bats he had, how many hits, how many stolen bases, all of those things. I could have told you how many home runs Johnny Bench had hit. How many times he had thrown runners out trying to steal second base against how many times runners had succeeded. I could have told you how many strikeouts Catfish Hunter had last year and his winning percentage, his ERA. I could have told you all of those things. One interesting statistic in baseball is one called the save. You familiar with that? A pitcher gets a save. A relief pitcher is credited with a save. In their statistics of baseball, a save comes when several things happen. First of all, the pitcher can't be the winning pitcher. In other words, it's not going to be the starting pitcher of the game. If he goes out of the game, he can't also be credited with the save. He can be the winning pitcher, but not get credited with the save. So it's a relief pitcher that gets the save. And he can be credited with the save when he meets several criteria. I went online to find out the exact rule on this. The relief pitcher can be credited with a save when he finishes the game and meets a couple of other requirements. When he fulfills one of these requirements, he enters the game with no more than a 3-run lead and pitches a complete inning. Or he enters the game no matter how many outs left, what the count. He enters the game with either the tying run at the plate, on base, or in the on deck circle. Or he pitches at least 3 innings and completes the game. Now why would that be important? Why would a pitcher need someone to come in and save his win? Maybe the pitcher's got tired. Maybe all of a sudden he's just run out of gas and he can't throw that 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And the hitters are catching up with it and he needs help. Maybe it's because of some bad breaks that have happened. Maybe the umpires have made a bad call and they've put him in a bind. Maybe it's been errors from his own teammates that they just haven't backed him up in the field. They've dropped the ball. In baseball, the starting pitcher needs saving because he can't do it on his own. It's the same principle for you and me. We need help because we get tired on life's journey and the world can just wear us down day in and day out. We have bad breaks come our way. Well, we can't help the situation of our economy right now. Some people have just had a bad break there and they just need a little help. Sometimes it's the people around us, the people closest to us, that cause us to need help and need saving. Sometimes spouses are not who they should be, and they don't support us as they should. Sometimes our children frustrate us and let us down. Sometimes our friends forsake us and turn on us. It's the same for us. We need help because we can't do it on our own. Now, what does it mean to be saved? The word saved comes from a Greek word, sozo, which is also the Greek word that's the root word. The Greek word is the root word of the word that's translated into salvation, soterio. The Greek word means to make or keep sound. And it's also in the future tense, which means that it's something to come. Earlier in the book of Romans, Paul talks about salvation. He talks about salvation and justification, and he makes a very strong distinction between the two. In verse chapter 5, verse 9, Paul says, "Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Justification is that thing that happens in an instant when we accept the free gift of God's grace in Christ. It's not anything that we can do. Justification is nothing about us, and it's all about the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ, that alone, that justifies us. Salvation is something, I believe, though, that happens not just in that instant, but is something that's a continuous process, and it happens continuously in our lives. You see, I can tell you the moment, not everybody can, and it's not essential that everybody can. I can tell you the day, the time, when I know that I was justified. It was December 29th, 1976. Can't believe I'm even that old, but that's how long it's been. That was the moment, that night, I was justified by the blood of Christ. But my salvation is continuous and ongoing. And right here today, and tomorrow, and the next day, God allowing me to live, my salvation will continue. I am being saved. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Philippians 2:12, Paul again says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now notice that he said work out, not work for. Because salvation is not something that you can earn. But it is a constant progression. It is a walk. It is a journey. Salvation is a wonderful gift that we continue to enjoy as we grow and unwrap and expose more of God's gracious gift to us. And the scriptures that I read to you this morning from the 10th chapter, there's three things that happen in the experience of being saved. Three things that I think we would do well to look at for a moment. First of all, that we find there, you go back and read through it, you can find this. The first thing that happens in the experience of being saved is that the message is proclaimed. Folks, no one ever comes to know Jesus Christ without the message being claimed. Now, I'm not going to say that there are people in the world and in various cultures that have not had some kind of understanding of God, that God has revealed Himself to them through the universe and through nature and through everything they know. The Scriptures tell us that God reveals Himself in such ways. There's been instances where missionaries have gone to foreign countries, to places that had never seen Westerners, seen white people, and they go there and they tell them about Jesus Christ, and they say, "We've been waiting for you forever," because they knew that there was something else, something more that they had not heard about. Those things happen. The message must be proclaimed for there to be salvation. How would you know that you need salvation and that it is something to strive for, to working out your own salvation? First of all, the message has to be proclaimed. For us to be saved, we need to have heard the message of salvation. For others, our call, after being justified and being in the process of salvation, we need to share that message, that good news, with those around us. We are called to proclaim the message. The second thing that we find in the experience of being saved is that the truth must be believed. You know, it's fine to preach and teach and tell all the things that there are of God, to know everything about God that's possible to know. That's great to have that taught to you and preached to you. I certainly am not capable of doing it, but you know, if you stay around long enough, maybe you'll hear it from somebody in some form or fashion. But it doesn't do one bit of good to hear about that if you don't believe it. Belief is something that you have to say, "Yes, I do believe that." It's not just something that you hear about. It's not just a head knowledge, but it's something that you say, "I may not understand it all, but I choose to believe, because I believe it's the truth." The truth must be believed. The message proclaimed, but the truth must be believed. Final thing that's needed that the Scripture tells us is that Jesus must be confessed. You know, it's not just enough. It's not all that there is to salvation is not involved in the message being proclaimed and believing in the truth, but you have to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is the only thing that will enable us to achieve our salvation, to work out our salvation. Paul says in that 13th verse, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This morning, we come to the Lord's table. We're experiencing the saving work that Christ has already done before us. We're experiencing that justification, remembering how He justified us through the blood and how He sacrificed Himself, His body, so that we might have everlasting life. We come to the Lord's table. I invite you to the Lord's table this morning to experience His saving work once again in your life. We can't do it on our own. He is the one that does it for us. Call upon the name of the Lord this morning and be saved. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning acknowledging our need for You. Speak to us now this morning Your timeless message of grace and forgiveness. Lord, as we come and partake here, may we be renewed by Your grace and given strength through Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Join with me as we go together through the communion liturgy. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, He gave thanks to You, broke it, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, He took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so, in remembrance of these Your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of children, let us join and pray as Christ taught His disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.